Just get confused.
I thought it was positive for a chocolate addiction. I thought you were a certified chocoholic.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. I'm Craig.
And I'm Reza.
And this is episode 74 of our award-winning podcast, in which we try to help you grow your grammar, vocalize your vocabulary, and perfect your pronunciation. We have over 40 years of teaching experience between us, and we'll help you improve your English and take it to the next level. In this episode, we look at a question from David from Mexico, who asks about adjectives, adverbs, verbs, and nouns. And we also have some proverbs for you and a little bit of the Bible. So, Reza, here's our first piece of feedback from David from Mexico, who left us a voice message at inglespodcast.com.
Hi, Reza. Hi, Craig. This is David. I am from Mexico City, and right now I am living in USA, in specific in Utah State. Right now I am an ESL student at Brigham Young University, and I have some question because I looking for an MBA program, and I want to do the TOEFL exam and the GMAT exam. For a grammar rule, what is the difference between the who and whom? Whoever and whosoever, because I don't understand very well what is the difference between these two words, or when I use who and whom, and when I use whoever and whosoever. Also, the last episode about the difference between the TOEFL and ELTLs was very interesting for me. And other question that I have is how to identify when a word is an adjective, adverb, verb, or noun. Because sometimes some words have adjectives or could be adverbs or could be verbs. And it's difficult when I use this. For example, help, helpful, helpless, or something like that. Thank you.
Well, David, thank you very much for sending us your message. It's lovely to know we have listeners in Mexico. And we answered this question, Reza, didn't we? In episode 72, we spoke about who and whom. So if you want to listen to that, anyone who's interested in the difference, go to inglespodcast.com/72. However, I don't think we spoke about the difference between whomever, whoever, or whosoever. Any comments?
Yes. Well, the common words whoever and not so common whomever, but it exists, mean it doesn't matter who. I will bring my old clothes to a charity, and whoever needs them can have them for free. Whoever needs them. That means it doesn't matter who. Who's not important. I'm not giving them to a specific person. Whoever needs them can use my old clothes. And as we spoke about in episode 72, whom is the object form of who. So whomever is the object form of whoever. So I will give my clothes to whomever needs them.
That sounds very formal. Yeah, I think
we wouldn't say it often.
We wouldn't say it.
But it exists.
And what about that so in the middle? Whosoever or whomsoever? That sounds also quite archaic, a bit old-fashioned.
Yeah, but it exists, but it's very old-fashioned. So whoever and whosoever, it's the same, but whosoever is very archaic and very old-fashioned. It's only used in very formal, very specific old-fashioned circumstances. For example, quoting from the Bible. People like to quote from the Bible in an old-fashioned style of English. It sounds more ancient that way, somehow more perhaps deeper. Let me give
Can you think of it? I was going to say, can you think of an example of yep. that from the Bible?
Yes. Thanks to my mom, who likes quoting the Bible from time to time, I have one very famous Bible quotation in mind. It's John chapter 3, verse 16. In fact, it may be the most famous quote of all from the Bible, because it's a very optimistic quote, which is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Let's sing together. Yep, so that's a good use of it. And also, I think in contracts, legal contracts, I think you might find whomsoever or whosoever, perhaps, but it's not very common in spoken English.
Yeah. My advice to David is, don't attempt to use whosoever or whomsoever yourself, but if you hear them, you can recognize them.
David also asks about adjectives, adverbs, verbs and nouns, because I think he's having some challenges making seeing the difference between them in some word groups. So just to clarify, let's look at nouns first. Reza drank his coffee. Coffee is a noun. So there are different types of nouns, aren't there, Reza? But I remember that a noun is usually a thing. I mean, it can be a person.
Or an idea.
Or an idea, yeah. And it can be an abstract noun, can be an abstract idea. For example, generosity or
love,
happiness. But just try to think as the noun as a, like a thing or a person or an idea, that kind of thing. The verb is often the action word. So in my example, Reza drank his coffee. Drank is the verb, to drink, the past tense of to drink.
An action. But of course, a verb can also be a state. Like Craig is English. To be English is not an action, it's a state. So a verb can be an action or a state.
And then you have the stative verbs as well, like to know, to remember, to think. Adverbs often describe the verbs, the way that you do or feel something. For example, Reza drank his coffee slowly. So slowly describes the way, la manera, that Reza drank his coffee. Adverbs are often, but not always, ending in ly. He drank his coffee slowly, quickly, noisily, or beautifully. I noticed before, Reza, how beautifully you drank your coffee. Any more to add on adverbs?
No. Well, actually, yes. An adverb can also describe an adjective, of course. Like, Reza drank his coffee extremely slowly. We got two adverbs there, extremely and slowly. The two adverbs. The first adverb, extremely, describes the second adverb, slowly.
Another example, Reza drank his coffee annoyingly slowly. I wanted him to leave, but he drank his coffee annoyingly slowly.
Or the most common adverb of all, very, very slowly. Very is an exception, and it's the most common adverb. It doesn't end in ly.
It's true. Really. Also, really slowly, really, very. And adjectives. Well, adjectives often describe the noun. So Reza drank his hot coffee slowly. Coffee, we said, is the noun. So hot describes the coffee. Strong coffee. Strong is the adjective. The opposite of strong, weak. Weak coffee. Weak is the adjective.
And another use of adverbs is to describe an adjective. So we said earlier an adverb can describe a verb. He drank his coffee slowly. We said an adverb can describe another adverb. He drank his coffee extremely. Adverb, slowly, adverb. Or you can use an adverb to describe an adjective. So Reza drank his extremely hot coffee slowly. So extremely is an adverb which describes the adjective hot. Extremely hot, very hot, slightly hot.
And extremely, of course, ending in ly, which is sometimes, fairly often, a good indication, a good clue, una pista, that it's an adverb.
But Craig, can you think of any words which end in ly which aren't necessarily adverbs?
Sly.
Yes.
A sly fox. So a sly person is very, what would you say in Spanish for sly, the adjective?
In Spanish, perhaps astuto or listo, but always with a critical, a negative element. Because if you're sly, it's not a good thing. You're intelligent, but for deception or something bad.
Foxes are often described as being sly. Fox is zorro, so a sly fox. So you could call a person, you're a sly fox for doing that.
Another one I can think of is friendly. Friendly ends in ly, but in fact it could be an adjective.
A friendly person. Raises very friendly. Yeah, so, absolutely.
Cowardly, the opposite of brave. These are words which end in ly, but in fact can be adjectives as well as adverbs. There are a few.
So there are exceptions. So be careful with that. But just as a guide, if you're doing an exam, if you're reading, if you see a word, it finishes in ly, there's a good chance that it's an adverb. But just be careful because sometimes they're also adjectives. David uses the example help in his voice message. Help can be a verb and a noun, to help someone and to ask for help. What's the adjective, Rez, of help?
Well, one adjective could be helpful.
And unhelpful is a negative with the prefix un.
It's the opposite, yeah.
The opposite.
And there's another adjective which is helpless.
Right.
Which is a different meaning. So, we better give some example sentences.
Yeah.
I went to the tourist office and they gave me a free map. They were very helpful.
Yep. It's a helpful map. It has all the information I need.
I went to the train station after that and I asked for information about the train to Madrid. But the man said he was too busy and told me to go away. He was unhelpful.
Yeah. And helpless, somebody in the street asked me directions in Chinese, and I speak no Chinese. I felt completely helpless.
Meaning you couldn't be helped. Nothing can help you.
And I couldn't help him.
Or yeah, yeah. You can't act. You can neither be helped or help.
Yeah.
You're helpless.
I'm helpless. I can't do anything in that situation.
Yeah.
So what's the adverb of help?
Well, helpfully.
Helpfully.
Or again, the opposite, unhelpfully.
Unhelpfully. So our friend the ly there to make it an adverb. An example could be,
I asked a man for directions and he helpfully brought me to the destination.
He helpfully gave me a map.
Helplessly as well could be an adverb. I fell off a boat in the middle of the ocean and I helplessly shouted, save me, knowing that I would die.
Quite an extreme example. So we hope we've clarified the differences between adjectives, nouns, verbs and adverbs. But David seems to be having problems more, if I understood correctly, with grouping these words into particular what the word families of the adjectives, the verbs and nouns and adverbs. So let's just give three examples. Reza, if I give you three nouns, could you tell the listeners the verb, the adjective and the adverb? And listeners, if you can say the word before Reza, you're very good. So Reza, leave a gap, please. Leave a short pause before you give us the verb, the adjective and the adverb. Okay, so our first noun is economy. For example, the economy in Spain at the moment, the Spanish economy, is not very healthy.
And the verb, economize.
For example?
We don't have enough money to go out every week to cafes and restaurants. We have to economize.
And the preposition will be on, do you agree? To economize on the way we're spending money, to economize on some things. What's the adjective?
There are two adjectives with different meanings. economic or economical, but they don't mean the same thing.
So let's give examples.
Well, because we don't have a lot of money and we have to economize on our spending, we have to buy more economical products from the supermarket. In other words, cheaper ones, more economical.
Yeah, this washing up liquid or this detergent is very economical. It's not expensive and it lasts a long time. You can also have an economical car. You can buy a car that's very economical on petrol. Economic has a kind of a bigger, grander use as an adjective. Can you think of an example with economic?
Yeah, a country can have many problems. It can have social problems, political problems, economic problems. Economic means concerning the economy.
Right. So the economic situation of Spain, for example, or Europe. Yeah. And of course, economics with an S is also a subject that you can study at school or university. And the adverb?
Economically.
For example?
We must live more economically because we don't have a lot of money.
Now, our next word, analysis as a noun. The analysis of my blood during my checkup was positive.
Positive for what, Craig? Addiction?
Sorry, negative. I always get confused.
I thought it was positive for a chocolate addiction. I thought you were a certified chocoholic.
If a test is positive, there's a problem. If a test is negative, it's clear. There's no problem. I always get that confused because positive sounds optimistic to me. But positive in a test is positive for something bad. So my blood test came back negative.
Okay, that's affirmative.
The analysis came back negative, so everything's okay.
What's the verb from analysis?
To analyze. So it's a difficult problem. We will have to analyze this problem carefully.
How do you spell the verb?
A-N-A-L-Y-Z-E, but I think that's the American spelling. I think British English has an S instead of the Z or Z, as they say. Analyze.
And the adjective?
Analytical. I think my sister has a very analytical mind. She analyzes things carefully.
And can you convert that adjective to an adverb?
Analytically. So we should deal with this problem analytically. We should have an analytical approach to this problem. Finally, apology. What's the verb of apology? For example, I gave an apology to my boss, or my boss asked for an apology.
He asked me to apologize, the verb.
With an S or a Z?
Either. British tends to be S, American tends to be Z.
And the adjective?
Apologetic.
Example?
When I accidentally lost my friend's jacket, I was very apologetic. I said to him, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean it, I'll buy you a new jacket.
So you gave a reason of losing his jacket apologetically. That's the adverb.
The adverb.
So you explained apologetically.
By saying, I'm sorry.
By saying you're sorry. So, that's a suggestion I'd have for you, David, to try and group these words in some kind of a table so that you can classify the nouns, the verbs, the adjectives, the adverbs, and the suffixes, the endings of each one. Economy, economize, economical, economic, and economically. So it's just studying each word and each characteristic for each group. There is a table and there are exercises about this on our CD, Mansion First, which is specifically for the first certificate exam. And I will put a link to this CD in the show notes at inglespodcast.com/74. That's for sale on our website as a CD and also as a download. But it is specifically for people taking the FCE exam. I'd like to take a minute or two to thank our sponsor, iTalki. Reza, do you remember I spoke about the possibility of studying Spanish with iTalki last episode.
That's right. Well, have you managed to start some classes?
No, I'm embarrassed to say I haven't started yet. I've been incredibly busy this week with teaching and other projects. But if you didn't listen to last week's episode, I've decided to improve my Spanish with iTalki and find a teacher who can help me with particularly my verb tenses in the past, because I need to practice, especially when I'm telling a story and I'm using verbs in the past, I need to practice my Spanish verb tenses. So I intend to find a teacher this week, and next week I will tell you about my experience. But if you're interested in improving anything specific in your English, Reza and I recommend you go to iTalki and find a teacher who can help you. Now, you can choose a British English teacher, an American English teacher, and the lessons are conducted with Skype over the internet. So you go to the website, you register, search for a teacher, any teacher you like, and you buy iTalki credits called ITCs, and you find a teacher in your price range, a teacher that you can afford, and it probably will be a lot cheaper than studying in a language school. If you go to inglespodcast.com/italki, click on Start Speaking, find a teacher. Italki are offering a special deal to listeners of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig, 100 free Italki credits or ITCs when you sign up for their paid service. So you buy one, you get one free. And Reza and I want to thank Italki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Next episode, I'll tell you how my Spanish is improving.
Craig, do you mind if I link to our next section by asking that you do start with Italki soon with your Spanish lessons? Because a stitch in time saves nine.
That's a proverb. So our next section is about proverbs?
Proverbs. A stitch in time saves nine is a proverb, which means if you act now, it will save you trouble in the future.
I see. So perhaps we should explain to anyone who doesn't know exactly what a proverb is. In Wikipedia, a proverb is a simple and concrete saying, popularly known and repeated, that expresses a truth based on common sense or the practical experience of humanity. And proverbs are often metaphorical. Metaphor is metáforo. Metáfora in Spanish. Do you agree with that definition?
Yep, that sounds good to me.
So yours, can you repeat it again? A stitch in time saves nine.
Have you heard that before?
I have. Not sure what a stitch is in Spanish. Is it the idea that
Un punto.
Un punto, exactly.
Un punto de coser.
So if you do one at the correct time, like one stitch, then you don't have to do nine more or eight more.
To correct your mistake later.
Right. Yeah.
So it's better to do things right now and act now, or you'll have more work or more trouble in the future.
Could you give an example of when you might use that proverb?
Craig should start on Italki as soon as possible, because a stitch in time saves nine. He should get a teacher as soon as he can.
Here's one for you. Two wrongs don't make a right. It doesn't mean if you do something badly because someone else is doing it, it doesn't make it right. If someone does something bad to you, trying to get revenge will only make things worse. For example, nobody really in my building here in Valencia throws their rubbish, their garbage, in the correct recycling place. But if I don't do it, two wrongs don't make a right. It doesn't mean that I should copy them. Two wrongs don't make a right. Okay, have you got any more, Reza?
When in Rome, do as the Romans. In other words, act the way the people around you are acting, particularly if you're visiting a foreign country or in a situation that you're not familiar with or you're not quite sure what to do. Just copy people. Do what they do.
So when you're in Spain, you should have your dinner at 9 p.m., even if you're British.
Yep.
And when you're in Britain, you should have tea and not coffee.
Exactly.
It's often just made shorter to when in Rome. I think when in Rome,
yep.
And then people understand that it's do as the Romans do. Mm-hmm. Here's another one. When the going gets tough, you can finish it.
The tough get going.
Or when the towing gets tough. Or when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. Have you heard that one?
I haven't heard that, though.
So when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Strong people don't give up when they come across challenges. They just work harder.
In fact, they rise to the challenge.
They rise to the occasion. Yeah. Exactly. And one more. No man is an island. So you can't live completely independently. Everyone needs help from other people. No man is an island, my friend.
Craig, can I just say one more? And I'd like you to think about the podcast.
Go on then.
Two heads are better than one.
It's much better to work with someone than work by yourself. Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. And
the problem is, English is the same as Spanish or any other language. For every proverb you can think to teach you something, there's an opposite proverb to teach you the opposite. Two heads are better than one. Teamwork, good. Too many cooks spoil the broth.
Too many people make a bad result. Yeah.
So you can get a proverb to teach you one thing and then the very opposite.
We'll be looking at more proverbs next week. So with the same idea as, what was yours?
Two heads are better than one?
In the same idea as two heads are better than one, I think hundreds of heads are better than one. So if you can think of a proverb, please send it to us. Give us some feedback and we'll have it on the next episode. It's your turn to practice your English. So send us a voice message with a proverb. Try to use as many words in their different forms of verb, adjective, adverb and noun. Send us an email to practice if you like, or ask us a question or give us a comment. Your email should go to me at craig@inglespodcast.com or to reza@belfastreza.com and tell us what's your favourite proverb.
And please don't be shy. Get in touch. Make an effort, because God helps those who help themselves.
Ooh, good one. I like it. Next week, next episode, more proverbs, of course, and some gym vocabulary. If you go to the gym, if you like exercising, we've got gym vocabulary next time. Until next time, it's a huge goodbye from me.
And a colossal goodbye from me.
Goodbye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.